This podcast covers all things health, your body, your brain, and your well-being. Each week, we'll be joined by doctors, as well as the occasional guest, to talk about the health topics that mean the most to you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, in this episode, I'm going to be discussing dysphagia. And I'm going to be discussing this in more detail on the upcoming GP Notebook study groups on the 19th and the 21st of March. So I do hope we can see you there. However, if you're not able to make those dates, don't worry, because we're going to be running these every month all through the year. And so I'm going to be doing GP Notebook study group 6 with dysphagia in it at several times through this year. So, to look at dysphagia overall, essentially it's difficulty swallowing, usually associated with swallowing a liquid or a solid bolus. It's often associated with esophageal or pharyngeal disease. If it's not associated with swallowing, then obviously we then call this globus hystericus. If it occurs with painful swallowing, this is odynophagia. Now, the most common esophageal lesions are inflammatory strictures linked to tumours or reflux. And a long history of heartburn does increase the inflammatory stricture risk. We mustn't also forget the possibility of eosinophilic esophagitis, because the statistics do suggest this appears to affect as many people as Crohn's disease. Now, we all know that progressive and rapid worsening of dysphagia, especially in the 65-year-plus age group, should suggest malignancy, especially if there's associated weight loss that is present and unexplained. Now, unfortunately, there are multiple causes of dysphagia, so I'm just going to run through some of the most common ones. And if we link these to obstructive causes, neurological causes, and others, that's probably a logical way to do it. So looking at the obstructive causes, then obviously esophageal malignancy is a big one here. Reflux, plus or minus reflux-associated stricture, is obstructive, as is eosinophilic esophagitis, as we mentioned. Esophageal rings, such as Schatzky rings, and we also mustn't forget the possibility of foreign bodies. Neurological causes are multiple and include Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, motor neurone disease, achalasia, myasthenia gravis, and cerebrovascular accidents and head injuries may also be a cause.
Here is a quick word from our sponsor.
We take this few seconds off to inform you, our valued loyal listener, about the best health and fitness podcast shows from the Nespod Studios. Join us as we give you the best of the best health and wellness updates you can rely on for the treatment of chronic health problems. Classic functional medicine, back to basics health tips, and special updates from the best doctors in the United States of America. Check out this health and wellness podcast shows. Explore Health Talk Weekly, Healthy Lifestyle Matters, Excellent Health Digest, Healthy and Free Daily, and last but not least, Weekly Health and Fitness Corner. Also, check out Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told fiction podcast, for that real life on the go experience with the 27-year-old golden boy, who made our guest invite number one list. He tells us about his story as it happens in real time and in real life. It's Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told. Go get a load of that happiness, because happiness is healthy as we know it. Join us every week as we continue to provide you the best of health and fitness wellness updates from around the globe. Enjoy the show.
There are other ones we mustn't forget about. I mentioned globus hystericus, but pharyngeal pouches may be more common than we think. Mediastinal tumours can cause external compression. And we also mustn't forget CREST syndrome. Remember, this is calcinosis, Raynaud's, esophageal dysmotility, scleroderma, and telangiectasia. There also may be amyloid of the gullet, as well as things like inflammation such as laryngitis or severe tonsillitis. Now, taking a careful history of someone presenting with dysphagia is absolutely vital, because it has been estimated that up to 4 out of every 5 cases of esophageal dysphagia can be diagnosed fairly accurately by the history alone. So always ask the patients to describe the symptoms in their own words. And watch for terms such as food is sticking, I have chest pain, it hurts to swallow, or pointing to where the food sticks, because multiple symptoms increase the chances that an organic cause is present. So there are multiple questions to ask, but ones I like to sort of mention are things like, do you have difficulty swallowing? Is it for solids or for liquids or both? Is the difficulty swallowing greater for solids, or is the difficulty greater for liquids or equal for both? The greater for liquids or equal for both suggests more of a motor disorder. If it's greater for solids, then it does suggest more of an obstructive problem. I ask, can you localize the dysphagia? And the localization can be helpful, although sometimes deceiving, because dysphagia of the upper gullet localizes to the upper gullet, but dysphagia of the lower gullet may be actually referred to any level of the retrosternal area. So it's helpful, but just take it with care. How long has the swallowing difficulty been present? Is it new? Is it chronic? Is it recurrent? Or is it progressive? Chronic and progressive dysphagia always suggests a stricture or neoplasm. Intermittent dysphagia suggests motility disturbances or even a Schatzky ring. Is heartburn associated with the dysphagia? Or has it preceded or been associated with dysphagia in the past? You're asking that to think about reflux esophagitis, for example. Is there pain on swallowing? Odynophagia. Because the odynophagia of esophageal motility disorders may be aggravated by extremes of temperature, particularly drinking cold liquid. Heartburn, or the odynophagia of esophageal motor abnormalities, may occur in the absence of dysphagia. And also asking, does the swallowing difficulty occur with the first swallow, or the initiation of swallowing, can suggest central pharyngeal or neuromuscular disease. So I think those are helpful to ask when you're taking the history. Investigations are fairly straightforward. I would always suggest you do bloods, full blood count, ESR, inflammatory markers, use an EASE, LFTs, and it is worth doing TFTs as well. And barium swallow plus or minus endoscopy, I think, is absolutely mandatory. If you suspect a pharyngeal cause, then laryngoscopy is always worth doing. And if a lesion is found, such as a tumour, then MRI scanning is usually the subsequent investigation, and endoscopic ultrasonography may also now occur. If the key presentation is, rather than food sticking, it is of difficulty swallowing, then video fluoroscopy may be the investigation of choice, but that may not be widely available. And consultants can also consider a barium video esophagogram, as this assesses both motility and anatomy, but that is a secondary care investigation usually. When we're looking at management, obviously we all know that if there are any concerns about malignancy, then a 2-week rule referral is mandatory. If you're considering neurological problems, then early speech and language therapy assessment is helpful. And with eosinophilic esophagitis, then things like dietary changes, topical steroids, leukotriene antagonists, or even dilation are all options here. Chronic neuromuscular conditions can be difficult to treat. There's unfortunately little evidence of any persistently effective treatment for this type of dysphagia. And I also think it's worth mentioning at this point, NMES, transcutaneous neuromuscular electrical stimulation. This can be very helpful in treating oropharyngeal dysphagia, and this is usually done by speech and language therapists. Electrodes are placed on the neck and then triggered to stimulate the peripheral nerve supply of the pharyngeal or laryngeal muscles, and this can be done for up to an hour at a time. Surgical management options obviously depend on the cause, and we're looking here at endoscopic dilation for strictures, plus or minus stenting. I think it's worth touching on esophageal cancer here in a little bit more detail. It's the 8th most common cancer in the world and the 14th most common in the United Kingdom, with over 9,000 people being diagnosed with it every year in this country. It's more common in men than women, and with increasing age, with a peak age really being quite late at 85 to 89 years old, and it is rare in people younger than the age of 40. There are a number of risk factors, but smoking and alcohol are really key ones here, and these appear to be synergistic. Chronic reflux, family history of esophageal cancer, and obesity are also known to be risk factors here. Unfortunately, and this is the real kicker with gullet cancer, they often present late, because 3/4 of the gullet circumference must be involved before food sticking occurs as a symptom. So if you have someone presenting with food sticking due to malignancy, they are presenting late, unfortunately. And this reflects on prognosis, which obviously depends on the stage at presentation. The overall 5-year survival rate is poor at 20 to 25% for all stages. Stage 1, the 5-year survival is just over 50%. Stage 2, 5-year survival is 30%. Stage 3, 5-year survival is 15%. And it's probably no surprise there are no 5-year survival statistics for stage 4. The 1-year survival for stage 4 is fairly appalling at between 18 to 44%, with the lowest rate in females. There are obviously palliation techniques in esophageal cancer, including repeated dilatation, stenting, sclerosant injection, and laser photocoagulation. So I hope that brief overview of dysphagia is helpful.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you. This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.